Pasuk Tetzaveh, the first piece is an Abavanil as to why HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose only one Shevet to be the Meshar Hashem and so on. It says, V'hine Boch HaKadosh Baruch Hu sheyishorsu b'migdash anash mishpacha achas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose one family, no Zar, for two reasons. First of all, he says, is because the Kohen Hashem needed to, he says, she is chakmu v'yedid as alyon. It required a tremendous amount of depth of understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It wasn't just doing things. It was people who did things out of a tefisa and havana of the avoda, and what we call take havanas. And he said, v'yesh asagis advarim loikim monim rabim. And there are a lot of things that prevent a person from having that type of yediyah and so on. People need to make parnasa, and their wives and their kids. Yuminuim and as bodhis vasoga. So people, as they are, need to take care of a lot of mundane things. They don't have the time for it. And that's why he says, l'chein tziva shetisyach de mishpacha achas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose one family that all of the hishtadlus should be to just continue to perfect themselves in yediyas elokis. They'll have nothing, no tirdis in terms of livelihood, which is something that you couldn't find by all of Klal Yisrael. And therefore one mishpacha was set aside for shleimus, and they were bnei Aaron, Mitzad Av and Mitzad Aim, they were dedicated to Avodas Hashem Davka. HaKadosh Baruch Hu then gave them Matnas Kahuna, and they were over in the Mikdash for everyone else, and everybody else would do the mundane tasks. Now, it's interesting, even though let's say for instance the Rambam when he writes about in Talmud Torah, when he writes about the fact that everyone should integrate Torah and together with doing some halacha and so on, but the Rabbeinu points out, you see, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was miyachad shevet Levi, and they were not allowed to engage in another thing, and the reason is because for the vast majority of people, it's almost impossible to pursue a dual track where a person has to grow tremendously in learning Havana and Yedias Hashem, and also take care of a mundane life. It's not easy at all, and it's very rarely what happened. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's what he did. He took one shevet and said, okay, these are the people that are miyuchad for this, and everyone else is going to be supporting them. That was exactly the structure of Aaron Klal Yisrael, of Klal Yisrael Shevet Levi. And he says, why did he pick Shevet Levi? HaKadosh Baruch Hu felt they were the ones that could most appropriately attain Shleimus, and from him it was Aaron and Banav, they would be even more sure than the rest of the Shevet. Why didn't he choose, he says, Moshe's children? Kuri Moshe's children are more chashuv. So he says, and it's a very interesting point, he says, they didn't have the appropriate yichus from the mother, because she was a Midianis. Whereas Bnei Aaron, both their mother and father had that yichus, and that's why they were chosen for it. So one thing he said is the fact that on a technical level, you needed to have people that are completely devoted to it. You couldn't have all the guys are doing a little bit of this, a little bit of this, a little bit of this. And the truth is, as society has gotten more advanced, we understand it also. It used to be that everybody grew their own food, made their own clothing, pulled the teeth of their kids out, and did everything. Well, you were kind of self-sufficient farmers, self-sufficient everything. As society developed, that model doesn't work, and everybody developed specializations, and society as a whole is much richer for it. So one guy is specifically making radios, and one guy is baking bread, and one guy is playing music. That helps each of the trades become perfect. One would like to think Torah should be the same thing. We don't, if a person were to make Torah one of his many activities, it's a good thing to do, but it would be hard to see a person would really become a Talmud Chacham Sholem. I mean, it's just a side note, it's interesting that some of the people today who insist that a Rav have a dozen other activities they're engaged in would be horrified if their cardiologist is engaged in a half a dozen other things. They would see it as bringing down his level of competence, and appropriately so, and expertise in his field. And today we have enough knowledge and enough enough activity within any one specific profession that specialization or subspecialization has become appropriately the in. And yet and in Torah, which really requires a huge amount of knowledge and time and effort, people don't share that same sense about it.
Really?
Yes.
On that last point, could that perhaps be because we expect more from Rabbeim now than it used to be? And it used to be you wanted a psak already from a Rav. He didn't have to know what the halacha was.
Well, I'm talking more about people who would like him. He must have a degree in English literature.
Uh-huh.
One sees the ideal as for the Rav as being someone who's also like in Yemen, where the rabbi was a silversmith, also besides being a rabbi. I'm not talking about, you're right, within the rabbinic field itself, it is a problem. And it used to be, people don't realize, in the old time, a rav in a town rarely said a drasha. Most rabbanim were not terribly competent darshanim. They said a drasha once or twice a year, and they had a magid whose job was to say drashas. The rav would pass from shaylas, but shaylas were very common. I mean, it was part of life. Everybody had a chicken, everybody shechted chicken, everybody's chicken had problems with the lungs or with the feet or whatever it is. And that was very, very common. The level of the variety of other activities that we have today and is kind of modern, and yes, it is an issue a lot of times. Then he says that second reason is Gam Boch Hashem Sheh Kahanim Mishpach Achas Mirchades Mipnei Achdusay Kemoi Shetzivol Beis Hamikdash Sheh Echad B'Mokar Shevch Hashem Hine Im Kein Ho Yisol Goy Echad V'Mokom Asher Boch Hashem Echad V'Torah Achas. Second point he says is for a very different reason. He says, since Avodas Hashem focuses around the theme of Achdus, everything of Avodas Hashem is unique, one, singular. It is one place, one Beis HaMikdash, one Karbon, and everything. So there is one Kohen, and he and only he is specified to do it. Let's explain this a little bit. Every Shevet has in itself the different qualities of that Shevet, and the ways in which it expresses relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Each one is appropriate, but as a focal point, you want to have one, and everything should go through it, or else Hashem comes across as many. For instance, let's take a parallel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has, there are a whole bunch of names that are Kodesh, Shemus HaKadosh, Shemus Mechakim, and each one is a holy name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Each one represents a slightly different midah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even in terms of the names, whether it's Elohim, or Tzvokos, or whatever, Shakai. And yet, davening, you're only allowed to daven to Shem Havaya. It says Zovech Elohim Yechram, very, very famous Ramban, that if you daven to anything but Yud Kei Vav Kei, you are doing something wrong. One of the Yigim Ikrim is to worship only HaKadosh Baruch Hu, meaning, even though we understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hanhaga to be divided amongst many different kohos that he chose, when it comes to davening, in other words, the focal point for where we're facing to is one place. That's why no matter where we stand on the globe, we face one point on the globe to daven HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the ability to focus everything on one point is is very much part of Avodas Hashem. I want to explain a Gemara like that. There's a famous Gemara that it says Bo David and Hemidam on Tesvav, and then there's Yud Aleph and there's Gimel, and then Bo Chavakur Hemidam on Achas Tzadik Emunasi Yechia. So the shallow way of learning that Gemara is that everyone made the load much easier. That's Kfirah, Chas Hashom. I mean, everyone has the same Shulchan Aruch, same amount of mitzvahs. You're not allowed to change that. What it means is that they needed to bring it into sharper focus. What is the tachlis of Avodas Hashem? Just like in science, for instance, our drive is we understand bits and pieces of the universe, we understand systems, and somehow we intuitively feel that all the systems will lead to a unified theory, that there's one root and everything comes from it. The same thing is true, or certainly true, about Avodas Hashem. There are different parts, and they may be very in stark contrast to each other. Midas Adin and Midas Arachmim, and its extremes, doing chesed to somebody versus killing a Besor Morer or a Molech might seem extraordinarily different, but still they all focus on one point. So if different Shvatim would be kind of the human bridge between man and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu would be seen as being, well, is it the God of Yisachar? Is it the God of Zvulun? Is it the God of Dan? Is it the God of Naphtali? Like, what exactly is it? There are many gods. Shevet Levi is Mishorosei Hashem. Shevet Levi is one particular Nekud of Chaisel, and that's Mishorosei Hashem.
Rebbe?
Yes.
How does this idea of chosen Shevet fit in with the idea that the Bechoros were supposed to be the ones who were supposed to do the Avodah at first?
So one has to say is, one, all Bechorim carry a common denominator. I don't want to sound silly when we say that, you know, firstborns are very similar. I once heard from a very big Rebbe in Yerushalayim, he's one of the most famous Mechanchim, Rebbe Gamliel. He told me two firstborns are more likely to be similar than the firstborn and secondborn in the same family. There is a certain tchuna, b'chor, and b'chor gets pishnayim. There is a certain attachment and a whole slew of other milos and chasonos of being firstborn. There's a famous verse from the Ishbitz that says, "Vaya b'yomen chilos b'chor ben asniya." So he says every b'chor is a ben asnua to some degree because you made all your mistakes with him. There's obviously a tremendous ava. So b'chor is all b'chors are alike. There's also a double nekuda, that is, that Bechorim are in a certain sense the one in each family. A Bechor means that he was a one child at some point in his life. So if we're talking about a Nekuda of Echadus, of oneness, then every Bechor has specifically that quality more than anything else. So that was the Inya Bechor being there. Okay, the second one is Ramban, who explains a little bit about the Inyan of the Bidya Kahuna. It says, the Pasuk says, the big begodim are lechavod ulesifaras. So one thing it says is shia nichpad umifur b'malbuch nechpad umifur, that the Kohen become a mechubed and a mefur through those begodim, k'mashem ha'kosov k'chosin yichayin pe'er. They're all very royal. They all have some elements of royalty themselves. Things that the kings, that royalty wore at the time the Torah was given. For instance, the kasonas, you see kasonas pasim, which meant it was embroidered. Then you have the me'il the kasonas, he says. He brings a pasuk for that. Kichein to basanas amelach apsulus me'ilim. He says that you had a sonos passing on the outside, and you had a me'il, he also says Bamitznefes Yiduagam Hayom Lamlochim Sarim Dolim, a headgear, a headdress of some sort, Malachim and Sarim have, and that's why the Pasuk uses as a metaphor when the collapse of the Malchus happens. It says Hase Hamitznefes Varamar Torah, the type of crown. Then he also says the Eifod Nechoshon Lebush Malchus, and he brings a raya from Daniel, and the Tzitz is Nezim Malachim, and so on. The Tchelos Gamayomi says Lo Yorim Yisrael Lulosh Chutz Melech Goyim. Tchelos was a very royal, like the royal blue blood, you know, the blue blood and so on, like it says Mordechai Tzitz Melech Malchus, and so on and so forth. And Tzitz Gamayil. Now the Ramban's point, so fine, he says these are all royal garments and so on, but he says, he adds a pshat, L'chavad Ulusiferes, he says, is Sheyia Nichbad Umefur B'malbuch Nichbadim Umefur. Aaron should become a Nichbad and a Mefur with those Malbushim. I want to explain a little bit the omek that he's saying over here. It says in the Gemara, Birchni is to call Memnusa Mechabdusa. Begodim were called that which was Mechabed, the person. The person himself changes when he dresses differently. And so, you take a little kid and he's always playing in the sand and mud and you can't get him ever to wash or clean up. He becomes a mitzvah and you buy him a brand new suit, a nice suit. He becomes very careful with it, doesn't want to get it dirty because he feels different. There's a reason why a military person, part of what gives him his sense of being military is his uniform. My father, Zechariah Nevracha, was from Lithuania. He once told me Cossacks were an extraordinarily tough and cruel group, and somebody once asked, like, how do you turn a human being into a Cossack? It's such a such a fierce and cruel drive. How does that transformation happen? So the person said, you take a pair of black material and sew pants, that was the uniform, you take red material and sew sort of it was like a ribbon down the pants. They had like red, sort of a red ribbon all down the length of the pants. I don't know the right name for it. And he said, and stuff it with a medium-sized Russian, and you have a Cossack. In other words, the point of that parable was, the uniform has a lot more. When you see yourself as a Cossack, you act as a Cossack. The power of clothing to define a person to himself is incredible. There are a lot of psychological experiments done like that, where you have a group of quote-unquote prisoners and a group of quote-unquote jailers, and a lot of times it's just the uniform or the dress or whatever it is that makes a difference. Being a nichbad, my Rebbe, Reb Chaim Shavitz, used to speak about this, and I remember as young Bachman, we couldn't understand what he wanted. He spoke about the importance of being a nichbad. In other words, a person carries himself, and a person is harder for him to do an aveira when he's a nichbad than when he's not. There's a famous, the Maral says, revolver brings down by if somebody eats in a shuk, and he's pasleidus. So Rashi says, because the person is like a nivze, and so what will stop him from saying false edus? A person who sees himself as an honorable member of society stops at the thought of doing something dishonorable. But if a person doesn't see himself as being a very honorable person, what's stopping him? Doesn't have any dignity to lose, doesn't have any honor to live up to, so the person is very easy to do things he shouldn't. The midah of being a nichbad, that a person carries himself with dignity, that a person dressed dignified, the yeshiva bacha uniform that's developed is not it's not so much, none of the Shmoyne B'Gadim that Yeshiva Baruch Hu wears has any specific Kabbalistic meaning to it. I mean, the Chassidus B'Gadim actually have all sorts of meaning to it, but they don't. But they're meant to portray a very, very dignified person. In other words, you're wearing a suit and a tie and a hat and everything. It's sort of meant to be formal. It's meant to be, the person is meant to be a nichbad through it, and if a person is a nichbad, there's a tendency to stay away from affairs and so on. When Kohanim dress differently, they become themselves elevated through it. They think of themselves as Mishras Hashem and so on. Yes?
Rabbi, what's the Ramban, or the Ramban's focus on Malchus here? I mean, there's an idea of the Melech, and the Kohen
right.
Gadol is not that. So why is he...
Well, in the sense, the B'Gadim of Malchus are not so much an expression of Malchus as of Chshivas. In other words, there are no other, in by Goyim, for instance, the priest's clothing were very Avodah Zarah, so we couldn't put them priest clothing because every Avodah Zarah had its own unique niche. So therefore, it was specifically Malchus, which is Chashivas, that's all. Then he brings Rabbeinu Bechaya to the Kol Seferes, Al Derech HaPshat, She Yiskavet V'Yispoer Behem, that the person should express the fact that he's elevated above the rest of the Klal Yisrael. Well, Lefisha Kohen Gadol HaMalach Hashem Tzvokos Eitzar Echidim Min HaFoda, being that he is above everyone in the realm of Avoda, Yitzavat Al Bishop Big Demalchus Lois of Melech Nichbad Defoit Al Amon was Yisholim Bekol. So he, since this is what he really is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said these clothing fit him, and they are Kav Gadol Min Big Demalchus and so on. So the Knech that the Rabbi Mechaya adds is that this is for the sake of the people, that they appropriately recognize Kohen Gadol for what he is. Now, so this is one level of Pshat, the Rabban Rabbeinu Bechaya, and pretty much similar, each one its own way. Now they both are going to say the next piece, a Pshat that is unique. Val derech ha'emes, hoid lechavoid ulasif eres, yoyma, sheyasu bigde kodesh la'am nasharasperim lekvoid Hashem, Hashoichen b'soichom ulasif eres uzam. Kirechsiv ki sif eres uzomu ata. Uksiv beis kachenu tifarteinu shalucha besenu, v'kachenu akovod v'tifarteinu tifaris Yisrael, v'oid ne'ma v'sif eres mikdoshe. V'chein lefayim mokoy mikdashi, mokoy mrak v'yakabed, shi mokoy ma mikdash mifur v'tifaris. U'mokoy mraglov, shi mokoy mesa mikdash, mechubit b'kvoid Hashem. Now, let's talk, this is a little bit of drop, more themistic, let's talk a little about this. So, his second pshat is that they are appropriate expressions of the Shechina that has two needles that are expressed in the Kohen and Zavoda. So lekavod ulasif eres means they are the kavod and teferes of that which is fills them as they're doing avodah and it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So they need to wear this clothing to reflect HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kavod and teferes. I want a little bit to describe this about the point of it. The word kavod and teferis as used in Kadosh Baruch Hu, let's for all practical purposes assume it's synonymous. He is using the word kavod and teferis as synonymous. We'll maybe see soon the distinction between kavod and teferis. Any time I have, we know that for us gaiva is a terrible midah, and yet by Kadosh Baruch Hu it's keil geos and his spirali and so on. And the answer is, the explanation is, kavod and tiferes are the expression of the chshivas of something which even though looks the same like the other, but the covenant of Pharaohs is meant to delineate the unique qualities it has. So for instance, there are 10 people sitting in the room. One of these people is a very big Talmid Chacham. So the kavod I give to him acknowledges that mitzias, and so on. The Amelech, a Kohen Gadol, and so on. All of these are people who are elevated above the rest. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shechina, wherever HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shechina is, we need to show its chshivas. We need to show it as being, we need to recognize it by, showing its covenant of Eretz. So the covenant of Eretz in this case is the showing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, the Shechina is here and is unique. Let's see also Rabbi Nebuchadnezzar, maybe we'll spend a minute talking about the difference between the two. V'aderech ha-kabbalah l'chavad ol seferes yoma v'asisibi v'kodesh ayin achicha she mishamesh ben l'kavad ol seferes kloma l'kvod Hashem ha-shochem b'sochem l'seferes Yisrael, which is Ramban's track. V'kvod yedat v'kvod ha-mishkun dugma l'migdash ha-asib v'hinei b'es ha-migdash kar ha-novi b'es kachena v'tif'artenu Hakavani Beishal Kachenu Wakavod Vishal Tifartenu Hutif Eres Yisrael Bezo Kimigdash Melech Ubeis Amrochi Bezo Shalom Lechana Libi Tosefes Vav Leremez Almidas Ashishi Umidas Li Kimel Hashem Wakavod Zerevo. So Rabbi Nebuchadnezzar and Rabban both say the same thing, that there are two Midas in HaKadosh Baruch Hu that are called Kavod and Tiferes. And those midas are reflected, the midas of Hashem, of Kavod and Tiferes, are reflected through the Bigdei Kahuna. They have both themselves Kavod and Tiferes. I want to explain the distinction between Kavod and Tiferes. They're both, they have obviously a similar component, but they're two midas. The Ramban that we saw before says that the Tiferes is the Beis HaMikdash, or Mekom Raglov, Shemekom Beis HaMikdash, Mechubed b'chvod Hashem. So, and he brings a pasuk, Lefaya moko mikdashi, u'mikom raglai achabe. So, kavod is the internal mida of chshivas. For instance, if I say a person that is a nichbad, what I mean to say is, it's not that he projects Shiva's above me, but there's something about him. He's not easily swayed. He is somebody who is he doesn't fly all over the place. He doesn't fly off his handle. He doesn't grab food. Nichbadus is the internal sense of gravita, the fact that the person himself is not a lightweight. It doesn't flutter. The word kavod, coming from the same word as heavy, kafed, means the thing has a lot of, he's a very weighted person. So kavod is the internal chshivas of the thing. The tiferes is a projection outwards that says, and I am superior to you. So the kavod is my own bearing. I don't run, I don't fly off the handle, I don't say things all over the place, I carry myself with great dignity, what we would call dignity, and Tiferes is where I mark my superiority to that which is around. That's Kavod Tiferes. The Makom Raglai, in other words, the place that I stand on is the Kavod. That's sort of the solid base. Its hallmark is weightiness, solidity, firmness, and so on. And then on top of a makom that is nichbad, and that's why even when it's shomein, I can't, there's kedusha even in the makom and the shomein. Then on a makom that is very strong and solid, I put on a layer of teferis. and that is a projection of its superiority above the other. So I say, okay, so-and-so is a very, very chashuv person, and therefore he will now be in charge of X, Y, or Z. So covenant of eris itself, covered is the more internal element of the thing's inherent dignity, weightiness, etc. And Teferis is where it rises above the other. So begodim serve two functions in a person. They are the most rudimentary level of kvod ha'adam. By Noach, he was humiliated when Vayiskal v'sochalo, when he was uncovered. Whatever the uncovered means over there, but uncovered is the way the Torah describes it. And covering is a kavod. That, so begodim, just the very essence of the begodim are kavod, and the fact that the begodim are embroidered, the fact that they're made of material that is dead in other people's material, that's a teferis. So the kavod and teferis are similar things, but they're layers. Kavod is an internal layer, teferis is the outer layer, and that was like the ikuna. Okay.